So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Hey Mark, how are you?
John, I'm great. Thanks for having me. I was once a day trader. Very tough job. Good to be with you today. Not doing that.
You are not a day trader.
I was.
You were not.
But I was. I was terrible. Down $100, down $200, down $500, down $700. Oh, now it's coming back. I'm up 10 cents. I'll take it. $700 risk for a 10-cent win. That's not how you make money trading, John, just to give a little lesson here on WGN. Apologize. I know that's not why you called.
But day traders don't risk $700. They risk $70,000. Were you trading for somebody or with your own money?
Oh, no, I was trading for somebody, and I was put on a very limited amount of risk.
And so how long did you do that?
Oh, it probably lasted a year. It was in conjunction with some play-by-play.
Can you hold on for just a second?
Sure.
Sure. Do you believe a word of what he's saying right now? I think he's pulling my leg, and I'm just falling into it like it's a real-life conversation. All right, let's go back to Mark Carmen, already in progress.
Trading.
Say that again?
You can look it up. Kirshner Trading, Austin, Texas.
Right,
it happened.
Fine.
I didn't inspire many people in the office, I can tell you that.
It's funny because I think there's a certain symmetry between sports analysis and the stock market. It's a numbers game. It's a little gut. Nate Silver, you know, went from sports to politics. There's some similarities there with 538. I would think if you'd be good at one, you'd be good at the other. You're clearly good at sports. Maybe you should go back to day trading.
You never know what the future holds, but I don't think that will be my future, John. It was I learned quickly that is not my body makeup, if you will.
You know, before we got into this business, talk radio, I was approached by a firm I was actually starting out in my career as talk radio. And a brokerage house asked me to train to be a stock broker for them. So I took some classes and did some meetings and that sort of thing. And then I decided not to go there for two reasons. Do you want to know what they are?
Yes. I do.
Well, one was, I thought I was going to be like doing numbers and helping people and analysis and get this stock and it'll go up. And I discovered it was sales. No, they're like, no, we're going to get 100,000 units of AT&T. You're going to need to get on the phone and sell them to people as investment vehicles. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. The other thing was that they said, you have to take a test called the Series 7. If you fail the Series 7, you don't get a second take. But to take the Series 7, you have to quit your job and do nothing but study for it. So it was a roll of the dice. It was an all or nothing. I said, I'm not going to do that because I didn't think I was not a good test taker.
I passed the Series 7. It's a five-hour test, two parts of the day. And, John, when I passed a 74, you needed a 70 to pass, I started emotionally tearing up the whole thing, and the testing grader person looked at me like, are you going to cry? Yes, I am. Do you understand that the chance of me passing this test right now is like 3%, and I did it? I have earned these tears.
Totally. I mean, that was me. And I would have been the guy crying because they would have been 69. And then I would have used my well-honed skills of persuasion and talk radio to say, well, how about that? And they would have said, no, you don't pass. You don't have a job now. I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah. Well, I get it. Believe me, that's a scary world over there.
Talk about the Cubs. Were you at that game? And what was the booing like in this, you know, kind of as important as one game in the front half of a mediocre season can be? That was an important game, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, we're at the point now where they all are. I mean, you're 5.5 games back. If this was the Cubs pre-winning the World Series and the Brewers were actually the Cardinals of, say, you know, 3 years ago, everyone would think the season's over right now. So the games are important. And as far as the booing, look, man, you give up 10 runs in the first inning, you are going to get booed. Should Cub fans be booing John Lester, who was enormous all season long last year and was especially enormous in Game 7 coming out of the bullpen and shouldn't have been taken out for Aroldis Chapman and would have closed out the game if Joe Maddon hadn't lost his senses? No, you shouldn't boo John Lester, but it's not surprising that you give up 10 in the first, you're going to get booed. And it's true. They did build. It was kind of like, well, we sort of have to boo. Now we're actually really mad after the Grand Slam, and you're still out there and still giving up home runs as, who was it, McCutchen hit the final solo shot. So, Madden should have had him out of there
before
he did.
Well, that's it. But, so then were those boos essentially directed at Madden? Or maybe they're not that conscious, these boos. They're just boos. They're just, I'm angry, I'm booing. But I'm not a fan of booing my own team, and I'm not a fan of booing John Lester.
I agree, and it never helps, right?
Well, that's it. That's it. You really, why are you booing? Because that's my team, and I want them to play well. How does booing help? I know you paid $48.50 to park, but still, whose side are you on this? Is the where how I feel about that?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. The whole idea that I paid my money, I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do. Listen, that's true, but no one put a gun to your head and said you have to buy these tickets. Go there, root for the team. If you want to protest, if you're upset, a bold move would have been walking out at 10-0 in the first. I didn't see anybody leaving. The place was crowded. I mean, the whole way through, and people just kind of settled in. And I was trying to uplift the fans, John, just for the record.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, in the third inning, listen, if you take out the first inning, we're only down 2-1.
Well, it is amazing, isn't it? I mentioned this yesterday. At that rate, we should have lost 90-0, but we didn't now, did we? So how is it that we can be so – granted, it's one pitcher, but it's amazing that they can be that good, say. I mean, Lester's no schlub. He was off, but they're hitting him to the tune of 10 runs in one inning, and then they essentially are shut out for the rest of the game. How does that happen? How can a team be that good and then that bad, or vice versa?
Right. I mean, that's just the crazy game of baseball. You never know what's going to happen. I was holding out hope, and if you take out the first inning, they only lost 4-3. You were right there, John.
And by the way, down 4-3, I like our chances. We can win that game. So really,
absolutely,
it could have gone either way.
And like one more thing on the booing real quick. Like Kyle Schwarber's been brutal all season long. He still gets worshipped out there. That was just an aberration.
But he had a good game. But he had a good game that day.
Sure. But they haven't really booed him when he hasn't. And he's still beloved.
Oh, so wait a minute. Now you're arguing that if we're going to boo the team or Lester, we need to boo Schwarber too?
If you want to boo, I don't think they should boo Schwarber. The guy won you a World Series. I don't think they should boo anyone on this team. If you had somebody who was new, who wasn't trying,
that's it.
Then, Cub fans, when Alex Gonzalez came back as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays, the man who booted the routine ground ball that would have gotten you to the World Series in 2003, when he came back and had his first at bat, they cheered him. That would have been the time to boo. I would have been okay with that.
Okay, so Mark Carmen's on the phone. I got a couple questions for you about, is it possible, Mark, answer this, that as odd as it is that we've been this mediocre or bad for the first half, isn't it also equally possible, equally odd, but we could recapture our mojo from last year? Does the All-Star break offer us any sort of hope for a pivot in a minute on WGN? We're wrapping up with Mark Carmen. Carm, of course, does sports on WGN Radio. You hear him on The Beat on weekends and on this show once in a while. And I got a question or two about sports. We were talking about the editorial in the Trib today. They're booing at Wrigley, but all is well. People still basking in the glory, but so frustrated. They have this odd kind of passive boo for the last game of the first half. By the way, Carm, a couple of texts. John, if a family financially can only go to one game a year, you know how this is going to go. And that was the game. They have every right to boo. Carm, you were sort of dismissing that logic a moment ago, right?
And then, I'm not saying that they don't have the right to do it. But, okay, family of four. Is that really what you want to teach your kids? Things don't go your way. Boo. I don't think it's a great lesson. That's just my own personal take on it. You certainly can do whatever you want. They're not going to throw you into prison.
Hey, John, my son and I were at a Cubs-Mets game. After the second grand slam of the inning, the fans booed. They threw stuff on the field. We expected Ron Santo to fall out of the booth. Yes, we were entitled to boo. This is a time, and there is a time and a place for it. What do you think of the second half? Is it possible that we could pivot and, find whatever magic we had last year?
It's possible, but I am not going to sit here and be super optimistic about it. The rotation is just not very good right now. Lester has been their best pitcher, and he hasn't been fantastic. He's been better than okay, but that's about it. And then Arrieta is down, and Lackey's on the DL, and Hendricks is coming off the DL, and Jason Hamill's in Kansas City, and Eddie Butler should be in AAA. I could keep going here. there's a reason they only have one All-Star who wasn't on the team last year. They could turn it around, and I think the offense has a greater capability of flipping because there is more talent there that hasn't performed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to pitch, and unless they're super aggressive in bringing in a starter, it's asking for a real, real, real big flip from some aging guys, too.
So do we make the playoffs?
I don't know. I'd put it at, let's call it a 50-50. That's what I would say.
I don't believe in 50-50s. 50-50s tells me nothing.
Yeah, if I had to bet my life on whether the Cubs make the playoffs or not, I'd say no.
There you are. You don't have to bet your life, by the way, but that's kind of
Thank
what
you,
I need.
Thank
All right,
you.
Yeah, because like if for instance, if they make the playoffs, we're not going to come and get you. You did not just bet your life. But I wanted to know which side of 50 you're on, and you're on the downside of 50. You don't think, just by a teeny bit, that they're going to make the playoffs this year. Wow. All right. Well, look at the Giants. They won it every other year for 6 years. I mean, you know, there's that sort of World Series hangover. Maybe we'll win it next year.
I'd love to win it next year. I'd sign up for it right now. I'd give up this year. And I really, really, really hope I'm wrong. I hope I am.
All right, bud. I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, John.